O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. How many of you have ever been at a church meeting where there's been a difference of opinion? Anyone? Thank you. How many of you now have ever been at a service club meeting, a curling club, a golf club, a seniors meeting where there's been a difference of opinion? You've been there too. Good. It's great to know that disagreements don't just happen in the church, don't you think? You know? I am Alan Warren, and today's message is Loving Outside the Lines. And I want to thank you for being here on a long weekend when some people like to get away and soak up some sunshine and fresh air. Today we are going to dig a little deeper into that passage of Peter and Cornelius. You will learn some similarities the Golden Rule has in other world religions, and also the importance of telling our own stories and the impact it can have on other people. Can I share a little bit of my own story this morning? Thank you. Now, I have to admit, I can't remember the crisis that was the impetus for what follows. I'm pretty sure it was 9/11, but I can't be positive. At that time, the minister of Sydenham United Church in Brantford and the imam from the Muslim Community Center decided that something needed to be done to break the tension in the air. So what do us church folks do fairly well at?
Eat.
Thank you. Eat, food, potluck dinners. So it was decided that there'd be a potluck dinner, that area churches were invited, as well as people from the mosque. And on the long line of table in the hall, dishes were alternately arranged from the church and from the mosque so that you could dig into both. And then the tables in the hall were long lines of tables, with the Christians sitting on one side and the Muslims on the other, and encouraged to get to know your neighbor, to talk across the table. How is it? You know, what's your family do? Those kinds of things. Afterwards, there was a couple speakers, and I'll never forget what the imam said. And again, don't remember the crisis. But he said that the people behind this are not true Muslims, because no Muslim would instruct someone to intentionally kill another person. Wow. Anyway, in that atmosphere, those were very powerful words. It was a good evening. It helped to shift stereotypes and helped to see us, each other, as plain, ordinary people, as a person across a dinner table. Now, my question for you this morning is, talk briefly about a time when you were in a group of people with a difference of opinion. What was the issue? What was at stake? And how did it get resolved, or did it? I'll give you about 20 minutes to do that. No. I'll give you a little over a minute today, just because it's a bit of a talk. So, a time you had a disagreement in a group.
Yeah.
continue your conversations about that time you were in a group with a difference of opinion, because I strongly believe differences help to stretch us and make us grow. Now this week we have a very, very important story in the early church. Now I want you to underline and put in bold in your mind the words "very important," just like you would on a computer. Now, does anybody know what the issue was in that story from Acts? What was Peter on trial for? What was that? Hanging out with non-Jews. Thank you very much. And what did he do, which was a sin of all sins? He even ate with them. They sat down and shared a meal together. Now, what I find interesting about this story is that Peter wasn't in hot water for baptizing Cornelius, which, you know, theological differences, all those big things, but for sitting down and having table fellowship with him. It was going into his house and sharing a meal. As chapter 10, verse 28 says, "You yourselves know very well that a Jew is not allowed by his religion to visit or associate with Gentiles. But God has shown me that I must not consider any person ritually unclean or defiled." Now, I think it's very hard for us to imagine today how radical this was for those first followers of Jesus or the church in Jerusalem. All their lives, they were told not to associate with Gentiles. Can you think of a modern day or not too distant past where a similar situation might have existed? What was that?
Segregation.
Thank you very much. Blacks and whites. You know, anything else?
Catholics and Protestants.
Absolutely. Catholics and Protestants. Do you remember growing up? You know, could you go and visit the boy or go play with the girl from the Catholic, you know, household across the street or down the road? No way. You'd be in big doggity-doo if you did that. Okay? So wow, we can relate to this story. We catch a sense of how deep this divide was because the story is retold again in detail. And we read the second account today. The first account begins the first verse of Acts chapter 10. So I'm giving you some homework this week. You thought you were too old for homework, but sorry. Take your Bible out, and I want you sometime this week to read that whole story from Acts verse 1, chapter 10, verse 1, all the way through to the end of what we read today, 11, verse 18. This is the longest story in the book of Acts. So just by its length, it tells you how important it is. Luke, by retelling it immediately, is trying to reinforce how important this decision was in the early church and the hand God played in this new direction for the church. Now, if you want to get a sense of how hot the debate was around this, have you ever been in a hot discussion over something? Go to Galatians, thank you, chapter 2, and read there, in the middle of that chapter, where Paul chastises Peter for removing himself from table fellowship in Galatia because he was afraid of how the church leaders in Jerusalem would react. So the next time you're thinking, wouldn't it have been great to have been part of the early church? You know, you would have known people who had personally known Jesus. Sometimes when you read Acts, you think of everything went so smoothly. There was no disagreements. They all got along and the church grew in leaps and bounds. Read these two chapters. Put your feet back on the ground because it reminds you of the amount of pushback that happens when the church goes in a new direction. I hope you realize that you and I would not be sitting here today if it wasn't for Peter's willingness to go to the Jerusalem Council and face the music over his decision to join in table fellowship with Cornelius under God's leading, that vision. So this passage from Acts today really is the conclusion of a longer story. And in Acts chapter 10, you will hear that after Peter hears Cornelius' words about an angel telling him to send for Peter, Peter agrees to meet him with these words. These are almost the first words he says when he enters the house. I now realize that it is true that God treats everyone on the same basis. Whoever fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him, no matter what race he belongs to. Does anyone here have a book or a magazine on the coffee table that you keep telling yourself, I'm going to read that someday? It's good, I'm not alone. This copy of The Observer from February has been sitting on my coffee shelf, coffee table, for a while. There's a, what? This February, yeah. So it's only, it's not too bad, you know, it's no bad. You know, it's only, what, 4 months, 3 months? So that's not bad, you know? The article I wanted to read is the one up the top here. It says, do unto others. Do you know how that continues? Do unto others as you would have them do. Thank you. What is it known as?
The Golden Rule.
Thank you. It is known as the Golden Rule. And the article looks at what the Golden Rule has in common with other world religions and philosophies. It was wonderful. Now I wonder if this article scratches the surface of another Cornelius revolution for followers of Jesus. And that is getting to know well-meaning people of other faiths, other world religions, and recognizing it is true that God treats everyone on the same basis. Whoever fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Now I want to give you a quick summary of some of the things in that article. So the first slide, please. Christianity, the Golden Rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Luke 6:31. There is a similar rule, and it's actually from Leviticus. You shall love your neighbor as? Thank you. Can you remember the well-known parable or story Jesus told in relation to that verse? Thank you. The story of the Good Samaritan. Do you remember what question Jesus was trying to answer with that story?
Who is your neighbor?
Thank you. Who is my neighbor? Because people were starting to get the sense, you know, my neighbor is really only the people who are just like me. They're the ones that I have a responsibility to, not the Samaritan or others. Now, the Golden Rule is often described as an ethic of, oh boy, reciprocity. I have a hard time with some of those words. What's reciprocity mean? If I do something nice for you, thank you. You do something nice for me. It is clear that Jesus makes it clear that we should do good for others for its own sake. And acting unselfishly doesn't necessarily come naturally, but living out love for our co-inhabitants of this earth is at the heart of Jesus' vision. It isn't always easy. Peter faced a lot of pushback when he went and said hello to Cornelius. It may cost us something, but we know at a deep level it's the right thing to do. Now, has anybody here ever heard of the silver rule? I know I hadn't until I read this article. What you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. It is very similar to the golden rule. Wouldn't you agree? Okay, what you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. It is a Confucius saying, and it is deeply embedded in the conduct of human relationships in Chinese society. So much so that when the president of China, Xi Jinping, spoke in 2014 of his vision for a peaceful rejuvenation of China, he quoted it. Because China has suffered a painful history of warfare, Xi Jinping said, the country should avoid inflicting the same pain on others. I will let you in history be the judge of how successful he is in doing that. Now, Confucius, 479 BCE, it's like 500 years before Jesus, was the first Chinese intellectual educator in their history. And he spent his life trying to convince both emperors and ordinary people to learn and practice virtue. Wow. Think of that. 500 years before Jesus, a similar saying. The next is Islam. The Muslim tradition has a rich heritage of sophisticated and altruistic ethics with its roots in the Quran and the Hadith. Has anybody here heard of the Hadith before? I know I hadn't. Oh, I see someone shaking their head. Awesome. Up and down, not this way. I know I hadn't heard of it, again, until I read this article. And the Hadith is a collection of sayings and stories attributed to the Prophet Muhammad, and they illuminate the context of the Quran and give guidance on a wide variety of issues and subjects. One has become known as the Golden Rule of Hadith. There it is. Well, nope. That's the Golden Rule. You saw it there, and you flip back and forth. There it is. Boy, it just doesn't want to stay there, does it? None of you believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Wow. None of you believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Now, in the article, I really liked what Sid Adnan Hussain, who wrote this piece on Islam, said concerning his sons. I teach them that the golden rule is an ethic of the other, and it requires, at a minimum, that we get to know the other in a meaningful way. And this engagement with difference, we come to realize that our humanity and kindness are not weaknesses, but commitments to solidarity and the struggle to be human. That we try to get to know the other in a meaningful way. Peter got to know Cornelius by accepting his hospitality, first of all, going, the leading, and then going into his home, listening to Cornelius's story and sharing his own. Now, when confronted by the apostles and the other believers at the Jerusalem church, again, Peter just told his story. And that's what we heard in Acts chapter 11. The story of how he saw God at work in his life, the vision of the unclean animals coming down from heaven in a sheet, and God telling him, take and eat. And then the story of the Spirit coming down on Cornelius and his family, just as it came upon the apostles at Pentecost, which is in a couple weeks. Now, Stephen Jones, one author, tells of the importance of story to change people's hearts and minds. It's probably why it was Jesus' favorite method of teaching. You know, had Peter gone to that council in Jerusalem, just as I'm going to the Horseshoe Falls Regional Council meeting, and if I had gone there to debate differences, Peter might still be there 2,000 years later debating those differences. Is it fair to keep God's love to ourselves? Or doctrinal differences? Generally, Stephen says, arguments tend to crystallize differences. Debates tend to keep the two sides apart, creates winners and losers. Stories, on the other hand, can change people's hearts and lives because they are powerful. We hear it, God is at work amongst them, or what their concerns are similar to ours. Again, it's why Jesus taught in parables. Stories invite people to cross chasms that separate them. When they heard this, the Jerusalem council stopped their criticism and praised God, saying, then God has given to the Gentiles also the opportunity to repent and live. So maybe the key to peaceful rejuvenation that Xi Jinping spoke of begins with us getting to know one another. Getting to know one another in a meaningful way is to create some space in our lives to listen to others' stories. Stories of their life, but also stories of their faith. Harold Percy, a minister in the old Streetsville. Does anybody know where Streetsville is? Thank you, Mississauga.
He married me.
Really?
Yes, I thought you married him.
Smarty pants, wow. So if you want to know Harold Percy, you'll come up and talk to Ann. Anyway, he had said, we are all called to be witnesses. Wow, scary. Not evangelists, witnesses. And a witness is simply someone who has thought about how God is at work in their life or where they see God in their life and get used to talking about that. Usually we start with people in the church. That's why I have you talk to one another on Sunday mornings. So that then we can engage in meaningful conversations with neighbors and friends out there in the coming week. People like us and also people unlike us, but all children of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. And our next hymn is from the softcovered book, and I love the title of this hymn.